Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, April 5th, 2018. Tonight I'll be talking a bit about the island of Puerto Rico, a place that I know quite well, actually. And I'll be talking about some other news issues here. I'll be talking about energy and where, oddly enough, this is going. The issue of lack of energy. But actually how this is going to reverberate back, and let's take another example, Western Australia. 140 kilometers of a high-voltage line that goes out to a little town in Western Australia, and they're cutting them off. They're basically saying you have to rely on whatever means you have out there to survive. And electricity, of course, is a It's like your horse in the Old West. You needed your horse because that was your life. If you were without your ride to get someplace, really, I mean, walking around in the Old West really wasn't a good plan. You didn't last long. So that's why there was the death penalty for stealing a person's horse in the Old West. That was short sentence and short rope. But if you take away somebody's electricity today, as has been done in Western Australia or in the island of Puerto Rico, I understand that around 250,000 people have left Puerto Rico now. And this, of course, is in the wake of Hurricane Maria. But still, the island has a large population, which remains, and the people are struggling. Still, hundreds of thousands of people without electricity. There have been some conferences held there where people have gone and dedicated their services or aid or tried to get public funding, etc. But the key elements... they were putting like a couple solar panels there to try and give people some electricity. But believe me, a couple solar panels, you cannot run a refrigerator. Back in the 1950s, Operation Bootstrap, it was called, gave Puerto Rico its first sight of electricity. And I know people that grew up in those days that were there prior to electricity. And of course, electricity didn't come to the far reaches of the island until much later. And so when I was there in the, say, the mid-1970s, it was still being built, but there was progress, let's put it that way. And the students, because they were a minority, could go to college, and that was a big benefit for the students there. For the young people, in fact, people of actually all ages, if they were capable of doing the coursework. But be that as it may, right now, Puerto Rico is, the people are struggling to survive, to have some semblance of a life. And, of course, there's a lack of building materials, a lack of water, a lack of electricity. And so anyway, what I am trying to do with some people, some contacts that I have, is to get the wing generator in there. And that's really the, if you look at the what are known as alternative energy solutions out there, really none of them work. Especially in a place where there's a disaster zone, because the scale of energy that you need there is to run a couple lights in the evening and run a refrigerator, and not only in one house, but maybe 10 houses in a little group, something like that, just so they have some semblance of normality. But remember that Hurricane Maria was a controlled, planned storm. Isn't it coincidence that the hurricane that destroyed Puerto Rico was named Maria? That was not by accident. Anyway, that's not the point of this show, but what I'll be talking about a little later is the infrastructure necessary for to start rebuilding there and give these people, you know, a place to, like a refrigerator is a very necessary item. And I, like I say, I know people that grew up in the pre-Bootstrap days, and even after Operation Bootstrap, there was a lack of electricity. A lot of the poor people did not have electrical service. And as a result, there was a lot of illness, a lot of sickness, bacteria, and just very difficult life. You know, a infant mortality rate that was certainly higher than anything in developed countries. But today, they've been basically put back into that area where they need an Operation Bootstrap again. But the political situation there is so corrupt that, anyway, the solutions are very difficult because it's a big island. It's relative to other islands in the Caribbean, which were also badly damaged in hurricanes. And by the way, all of the Caribbean islands were hit by hurricanes this year, this past hurricane season 2017. Every island in the Caribbean had damage due to hurricanes. And there again, not by accident. This was not a coincidence. And including Cuba, including the Bahamas, all of the islands had damage, extensive damage due to hurricanes. And Florida was on the target list too, but that didn't pan out for the people driving that storm. Okay, so anyway, I'll come back to this topic a little bit later in the show. But first I wanted to announce, this is an interesting twist of events. Now, for many years, I've had a link on my webpage to a product called Via Viente. And there's quite a few people that have signed up to, mainly to purchase themselves. Some are in the actually have made a business out of Via Viente, selling to other people, etc. But this past month, Via Viente was purchased. And the owner of Via Viente, I don't know how much is public, but had an opportunity, let's just say another opportunity to help the mankind. I'll just leave it at that. So a very good opportunity. And so he took the company over to another one called Longevity, and the Longevity people took over Via Viente and the product line, which amounted to basically two products. The main one being Via Viente, the drink. It's like a little concentrate in the morning and the evening. You put it in water, or you could put it any place in your cereal or whatever, and it provides you with live enzymes, vitamins, minerals, etc. It's really an excellent product. But anyway, Longevity has taken over Via Viente, and Longevity has many, many, many products, including women's clothing. It has jewelry. It has many other health products. And so anyway, if you're of the mindset, go to my webpage, and hopefully the link will be there, the new link, and I will have it reposted. Instead of Via Viente, it'll be Longevity. And so for the people who have signed up underneath me in that program, make sure you get converted over, or send me an email or something like that. But I believe mostly everybody has been converted over now with their new username and password in the Longevity program. But for those of you who they have health care products, products like shampoo and conditioners, quite a few other things. And so anyway, I'm going to stay in there mainly because I take Via Viente myself. And I think, you know, I'm doing pretty good for an old guy. I'm still at the top of my game. And, you know, not perfect 100% health. But I mean, as far as, you know, nobody, you know, I'm doing very well. And I don't go to doctors regularly. I don't have prescriptions. It was funny. I went to a doctor a number of years ago. Had a little thing. I had to go to the doctor. And he sits down and looks at me and he goes, okay, very first question. He says, how many prescriptions are on? What are you taking? And I said, I don't take any. And he looked at me like the man from Mars. And he said, no, he said, how many prescriptions, what prescriptions are you taking? I have to know. I have to write it in your chart here. I said, I'm not taking any. And it was like, once again, he did a double take. It was like, no, this is not possible. You can't be your age and not be on some kind of medication, prescription level medication. And that's, you know, and I don't do that stuff. If I have, you know, if I break my finger or something like that, or an arm or something physical, I'll go to a doctor. But apart from that, you know, I don't go anywhere near any of that. I just eat good food. And Via Viente is a very good supplement. And so if you should probably be taking supplements, most of you, because what we get in the grocery store is not very good. They look good, the oranges, the apples, the cucumbers, the onions, the potatoes, it all looks real good, but it's being grown with fertilizer and there's really not a lot of food value there. So mostly everybody needs a little like extra. And so that's what Via Viente is. But just making note that on my webpage, it's scroll down, there's kind of a purple section there, right at the very top of my homepage, near the top. And it's got a link to my water filters in the sales page. And then it's got a link to Via Viente's and a link to a thing called Carrot Bars, which is very interesting. Today is going with what they call Carrot Bank. They're starting a bank, and it has a lot of interesting, it's a way for people to own gold in small amounts, like 1 gram amounts. And so that's something, there's quite a few people that have signed up underneath me on that one. And some of them are active buying gold every month, and that's great because that's a way for them. And Carrot Bars is a spendable gold. It's going to be, it's already monetized, and so you can spend it at certain locations, and that's going to become more common, especially with the Carrot Bank coming along. But economic health and your physical health and your mental health, your spiritual health, all go together to make us what we are today. And never in the history of the world, I mean, even when the Roman armies were going around and smashing everybody, the world is had the level of, say, disinformation barraging people is people of the human race has never seen this before. So you are subjected, even though you not have may not have people beating you on the head, that was true in the Obama era, and it would have really been true in the Hillary era, if that ever, God forbid, would take place. But I was talking about this with John Moore this yesterday morning. I was a guest every Wednesday morning with John, and we were talking about how slow sales were, especially in the, say, alternative communities or in the preparation, what they used to call prepper communities, etc. And, of course, water filter might be included in that group. And I'll be honest with you, my water filter sales are pretty low. They have been this year. They're still, you know, making sales and everything. But the whole reason is that people are not on the edge or worried. Let's put it that way. Edge could mean a lot of different things. So, but people are not worried of imminent government interference in their lives and things like that. People are doing different things. They're going on vacation. They're spending more time with their families. And that's since Trump is in. I mean, it's just a change that occurred overnight, because people then were not afraid that the BLM or somebody would come marching down the road with full military garb on, you know, and stick a submachine gun in your face. You know, if you want to talk about terrorism, there are some people that got royally terrorized from our government. And so anyway, now people are much more relaxed. They're not in such a hurry to buy, you know, emergency food or water filters and things like that. And so, in a sense, that's good. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that the United States as a population is more relaxed and doing more things like just with the family and vacation and things like that. And I see a lot of people, too, taking their kids out of school. It's just like, no, I'm not going to. And I've talked to people, too, adults and teachers and people who know teachers. And I know a lot of teachers that have gone out and purchased guns and have them potentially with them, maybe in a purse or whatever. And there was a case recently where somebody came into a school and started shooting, and a teacher, boom, took him out. But guess what, boys and girls? You didn't hear about that on the news. You did not hear about that on the evening news in the circus that we call the evening news. So at any rate, I think it's good that people are, and this is, you know, the news media wants you to think that there's a vast majority out there that's, you know, that are very vocal, but it really, it's a very, very small minority. The numbers, even the fixed polls, are showing that the nation is very much behind Trump. And the voting, I'll tell you this because I studied the voting, was around 80 to 90% in favor of Trump in the voting. This is the actual votes. The Hillary Clinton cheating campaign, more than anything, that's why she never went out to the public, because she just thought she was going to win. She was Queen Hillary, and she would be the next pres. But, of course, that didn't happen. And they couldn't, even in spite of getting over 17 million cheating votes, she still couldn't win. So that just shows how. But if you went county by county, precinct by precinct, it was clear that Trump, in a lot of these precincts, even in states where he did not get the electoral vote, when you're looking at the counties, he was 80 to 90% of the vote. And with all the current things that are going on, every time somebody says gun control or Second Amendment or remove Second Amendment or whatever, I'm not sure if they realize this, but gun sales go through the ceiling. Shell and ammunition sales go through the ceiling. So it's in spite of getting people to side with their cause, they actually have the opposite effect. So it'll be interesting because this is interesting, something that was recently pointed out, some work by independent investigators, that the march to save lives or whatever that was in Washington that occurred in March was actually registered many, many months earlier. And so because apparently in Washington, D.C., you just can't go out and overnight throw up a march because there's street crossings, there's blockades, there's vendors, there's porta-potties, there's all kinds of things that have to, you know, safety issues, etc. So it was discovered that the permit to have that march had occurred months earlier. And so that's still being investigated. And we've seen these things before where people investigated other shootings and they had the porta potties ordered long before and on to come on a certain date, which was the date before the shooting. And so, you know, all kinds of situations have been discovered for what turns out to be a very long sequence of planned shootings in this country. And people have gotten very good at removing the onion peel relative to these and finding out that, in fact, these were planned events. Someone spent a lot of time and, of course, trying to cover it up, but in this world of everybody's got a camera, etc., that, it's almost impossible to cover all the bases on something that's that big. Okay, on to a topic that really you have to understand. Hanford, Washington was a place where uranium was processed during World War II for the fission bomb program for the Manhattan Project. There were two other locations. One was in St. Louis, Missouri, and another one in Southern California. But Hanford was a big plant, and they took the just to explain the process, and by the way, I talk about this in my paid cast for, I think it was March 15th, the March 15th show dealing with nuclear power, nuclear energy, etc. But just a comment on this show. They were cleaning the yellow uranium cake. It's like a powder, the raw material that uranium comes in a yellow form, just like iron comes in a rust form, and then they smelt it. Well, a few different things happen with uranium. Uranium is typically left with an oxygenated format because it's much harder and it's much easier to work with, but it still has the radioactive properties, even though it's chemically bound with oxygen or other chemicals. To make the fuel rods, etc., or the bombs, or whatever they're going to do with it. But Hanford, Washington has been in the nuclear arena since pre-World War or World War II days, probably prior to that also. But in 2002, Hanford, Washington was going to become the processing plant for nuclear fuel. So far to date, $17 billion, with a B, have been spent on building a plant at Hanford, Washington that is supposed to reprocess nuclear fuel. Basically, they're going to take the fuel, the expended fuel rods, and put them in glass in as a method of storage. But at any rate, this plant is supposed to begin in 2022, so that would be a period of 20 years that they would be starting production of the fuel encapsulation in glass. However, they're behind schedule, and it looks like they're not going to make it. Now, how can you have something that takes 20 years to build, and there's still nothing there? Where's the $17 billion? So Trump cut the money. And there's a lot of people that are going to complain about that because that's money that's been pouring into their region. But good grief. I mean, that's just insane that it took 20 or up to now, 16 years they've been working on this thing and there's nothing there. There's nothing to show. And let alone a plant that should be ready in 5 years to process nuclear fuel. And this is not to mention all the other problems that Hanford, Washington has had recently, where they have the nuclear fuel, the spent nuclear fuel in a cave, and that cave collapsed. And at first they said, oh, no problem, it's just our collapsing cave. And then they had to evacuate all kinds of people. They shut down the highway going over to Seattle. But nuclear fuel is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. And my recommendation, if anybody's listening out there, is to shut it down. Shut all the nuclear power plants right now in this country. Turn off the lights. Save electricity. We only have to save about 10% of our electrical use, which we could easily do. I could do that by turning off a light or unscrewing a light bulb. If you have a fixture with four lights, unscrew one of them, turn the computer off if you're not using it, at the TV. Some people have the TV going all day long, turn it off, if you're not sitting there watching it actively. We could easily save 10% of our electrical usage and shut down those nuclear power plants. Good grief. It just a horrendous, horrendous, horrific practice. And a friend of mine calls it the devil's stone, the uranium, plutonium, the devil's element or something. And it really is horrific. So I did a show a long time ago talking about the number of launches. So some people go, oh, just send it off into space. I did a show about how many launches it would take, and it'd be, given our current rocket capability technology, it would be impossible in the next 100 years to send all of this off into space out of the gravitational well of Earth. Anyway, I don't know. Nuclear fuel is a disaster. It was a disaster from the beginning, and it's going to be even worse as future generations come along having to deal with these, the problems that are going to emanate. And anyway, that's a huge, complicated issue. I got an email. Many of you probably got this email this week on what Google information has on you, it's called. That was the email title that I got. And it shows a guy who's going around on a, he took a tour. I think he went to Washington, D.C. And he took a public transportation, and he drove around Washington, D.C. And it even knew when he was getting out of the vehicle. It has a timestamp. That's how much information they have on you. If you're in a car, if you're getting out of the car, if you're on foot, if you're walking into a store, they can tell how long you were in that store when you walk out the door. There's a timestamp. Everything you do is on Google, because your phone, you grant them permission. But, I mean, is this really necessary? Someday I hope we get to find out where all this data is held and destroy these data centers. Maybe we could hire Hillary Clinton. That'd be a good job for Hillary, to go in with a hammer and destroy all of the data banks of Google. Maybe that could be her sentence if she ever gets convicted, that she has to daily go into the NSA and the other places where they keep all the email records and have a hammer and destroy it all. But this is not funny. This is a very serious matter. They know everything you've done when you're in your house. They have, who knows if they're recording your voice or what was it during the Super Bowl? ESPN was looking into people's living rooms through their TV at their Super Bowl parties, and these people did not know it. It was, oh my goodness, what's going on here? This is worse than Big Brother. You know, Big Brother was never quite like this. There were monitors and things like that, but never to the level that is actually going on today. Speaking of similar things, Atlanta had a ransomware attack, and it hit the city computer systems. They don't really know where it came from. They think that somebody probably in the city clicked on something they should not have, but it infected, and what this does is it basically goes in and locks up all of their databases so that they can't function. And the ransom note was for $51,000. Well, if somebody did that to me, I just have to tell them, well, I guess you'll never get your money because I don't have any money. But, of course, the big city, so they're trying to figure out if they should pay the $51,000 ransom or whatever. But being able to hack into these systems, it all goes back to the fact that the NSA and the CIA, who require software companies to sell you software, protection software that doesn't work, because if the public demanded software that would protect their computers, then the NSA and the CIA wouldn't be able to break in either. So they don't care about your safety or your security, computer security, IT computer center security. They don't care about that. All they care about is the fact that they can get in and let the devil take the rest is, I guess, the only expression you could give here. But so I didn't hear the final story if Atlanta paid the 51,000 or not. But I used to work in that industry, telecommunications, security, encryption, etc. And as I'm sure most of you know, that I broke the RSA codes by producing the formula that fast, very rapidly calculates prime numbers in big groups. And so anyway, that's in my book, Calculate Primes, and then the follow-up book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. But that's one of the encryption schemes that they're still selling out there, and it's simply a broken system. So anyway, on to the main science topic. Oh, I forgot about this. Yeah, the wing generator, if you go to my new webpage, or you can also go from my old webpage, there's a link at the top. Some of you may have gone to donate and it didn't work. And so let me just tell you that if you have pop-ups blocked, some of the donation windows may not come up on your computer screen. So if you tried to donate and it didn't work, go back and just for that one thing, turn off pop-up blocker or whatever, and that should get you through so you can make a donation. But anyway, thank you everybody that has so far made donations. And that page is not only for donations, it's also a call for investors. So in that, there's so much going on in the background, my head is just spinning. But the wing generator is out there. It's making progress. As you know, I don't know, I believe most of you probably know by now that I'm one of the five finalists in the XPRIZE, known as Water Abundance XPRIZE. I'm one of the five international finalists, and the wing generator is the source of energy. So that's going on. There's a lot of work going on in the background relative to that, and that judging will come up in July of this year. So the farm ranch model, for those people out there who've emailed me, and there's information at the top of the webpage. If you have a farm or a ranch and you're interested in having independent energy, the video that you see, the one with the where I'm standing next to the wing generator spinning, it's on a trailer bed, that is the farm ranch model. It's very similar. And we'll be putting those out in the near future as this thing rolls out. And I've taken the list of a lot of people who are very interested. So if you have already submitted your name, then just know that we're going to contact you hopefully sooner than later. And also, if you have a farm or a ranch where you use a lot of electricity and you'd like some relief from that, contact me by the email address that's there on the webpage. I'm not going to try and say it on air because it's too long and complicated, but just go to my webpage, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo, that's seven letters, JMCCSCI.com, and look at the email address there. Send me an email that's use the title Wing, and then describe what your situation is. And it's just amazing. I've gotten so many inquiries from really all around the world. So that will be something that's going to roll out and be very public. Plus, there's a lot of work going on with the bigger wing generators, things going on in the background. So very excited about that. That's where I spend the bulk of my time these days, is working on that. And of course, the paid cast keeps me busy. This show keeps me busy. Doing a few interviews every week keeps me busy. And just all of the small detail work, keeping web pages updated. And it seems like there's always something to do. So, but I'm trying to limit my contact with the outside world so I can concentrate on the wing generator, because when that becomes viable on an international scale, on a large scale, the large ones, then the world energy situation will completely change. And that's why I started out talking about Puerto Rico and Western Australia, because it's interesting when the power company says, oh, it's too expensive to give power out to that little town out in Western Australia there. You know, it's too much of an expense. The line keeps breaking, and we got to send servicemen out there. And, you know, those people don't really set high on our value list. There's not enough revenue coming in. But then the flip side of that is that those people scramble. I heard that I was talking to a guy this past week, and he told me that there's an island up in the Azores. The Azores Islands that are off the west coast of Europe there, that they have an island there that's completely energy self-sufficient. They have biodiesel, they have wind, and they have some other things that they've cobbled together, basically. It sounded like a combination of things, so that they had their own energy source. They're totally energy independent. By the way, I've mentioned this before, but Ecuador is a country that's energy independent. They export petroleum, which they have locally, and they produce more than their need of electricity from three hydro dams that are up in the mountains. So, and this is due to the benefit of their previous president and 12 years of dedication getting that country energy independent. And of course, it's a very poor country. It's a third world country by, you know, all standards. It's a poor country. But they have also uranium down there, which is being explored. And I don't know if they're digging it out yet in quantity, but Russia, Bolivia, and China have their stakes on that. Oddly enough, not the United States, because under Obama, they were trying to get at Julian Assange, who was held up in, of course, the English diplomatic security of the Ecuadorian embassy in London, which was off limits, so the London police and their Secret Service, etc., could not go get Assange. So that Obama and Hillary really wanted to get him, because he was leaking out their emails that had all the dirt in it. So thank goodness that we all got to see that parade of shenanigans coming by during the election. Where good. It's time those people learned that they can't operate in secret, because that was business as usual in Washington, is that they did all this stuff and a lot more in total secrecy, totally immune to the legal system. So releasing that information was important, and it did not come from the Russians. I don't know where that was. John Brennan and company, and the other, Clapper and those guys, those criminals that should all be behind bars. I remember seeing Clapper lying to Congress. Remember he said, they asked him directly, are there surveillance programs, mass surveillance programs of the American people? And he said, nope, there isn't. He knew fully well. He lied to Congress. Boy, doesn't that deserve a little bit of jail time, a little striped suit time for the guy there? Oh, man. Yeah, but these people, Susan Rice, lying. You know, when it came to the unmasking, they asked her on Sunday morning TV, a news interview, and she goes, I know nothing about that. I don't know anything. She lied. Lying comes off of their tongues just like butter, just like melted butter, a big lie. Oh, man. Anyway, excuse me for getting off the topic here. But I was talking about the end of the rope, or for Puerto Rico, the same thing. all of a sudden, here's an island where they cannot get electricity. The government and the power company has no interest in recreating the infrastructure there. But look at what's going to happen. The people find another way to do this because they're going to have energy by some method. But when I can start getting the wing generator installed in these locations and people see it working and they go, wow, that thing is a lifesaver. Can you imagine a 10 kilowatt wing generator that would power 10 to 20 houses with refrigerators, maybe a common freezer, etc.? And I remember going down to the coast where the fishermen came in. And I do this no matter where I am, especially in the tropics. You find out who the local fishermen are. You go, and when they come in with their catch, you buy it right from them. You pay them a bit more. They're happy. And so I remember going down in Puerto Rico to where the fishermen came in, and they would take a nice big fish and cut it up and take it home, put it some in the freezer, cook some up fresh. And but back in the pre-bootstrap days, they didn't have electricity. So there was a term, there was an expression that they had. It's called, translated, it would say, to cut the barracuda. And anyway, the fisherman comes in with a barracuda, cuts it in half, he takes half home for his family and sells the other half. Well, that person takes it and home and cuts it in half, cuts that in half, gives some to someone else, and then that person that gets half of the half cuts that in half, gives it to someone else, and before the end of the day, everybody in town has a little piece of the barracuda. And so, anyway, it's the expression in Spanish is cortar bacalao, which is to cut the barracuda. And so, anyway, but that was kind of a symptom or kind of a just the way the Puerto Rican people are, that they have to share, because you can't say, no, this fish is all mine. It's a big fish, but I'm going to keep it all. But by the end of the day, if you didn't give the fish away, the part that you didn't eat, then it would go bad because there was no refrigeration. So it was symptomatic also of the fact that they did not have electricity, where this expression came from. So they had to basically give it away before the end of the day. And it had to be cooked up and eaten by someone. And in fact, I'll just a kind of a memory of my own, out on a sailboat in the Caribbean, I was with some friends on a sailboat, and we threw a line over with a big hook on it and a piece of bait fish, and caught probably about a 15-pound barracuda. And brought it into town, and I gave it away. I gave it away to a guy that then ended up, that's how he made his living. But that's just the culture there. But they don't have electricity, so we're trying to get some steam where I can start delivering some wing generators to Puerto Rico of the farm ranch size, of that 10-kilowatt size. So anyway, that's something that... And there again, that's not going to be a profit center. It's not going to be something where it's going to be a big money maker, but it'll get the wing generator in certain places where people can see it. And they'll go, oh, that thing works. That's what, you know, much better than solar, much better than the old style wind generators, something that actually produces power that's significant enough on a daily basis to run a refrigerator in, say, 10 or 15 or maybe even 20 houses with a light. And that's the way it used to be in the islands or the Caribbean or other places, that you would go to a house and they had one light, a cord hanging down with a light socket and a light bulb in it. And that was the light. So, you know, in the United States, you're used to having, you know, a whole house. You go, you know, go in the home, you flick on the light, you got the outdoor lights on, you got the whole house is lit up, and, you know, maybe two or three people there. That's, you know, it's really also a symptom of the United States, and there we should be a lot more careful with that, because before the end of this century, we're going to run out of coal. We're going to run out of nuclear fuel. We're already short. The United States is short on nuclear fuel. So if that tells you something, and also the petroleum, we just can't keep burning this stuff. But in terms of powering the world, there's going to be a conversion. And here's a basic fact of life, and I don't know if a few people know this out there, but your power company, your friendly local power company, is guaranteed not doing real well. I would if you think I'm wrong, I want you to show me a power company that's highly profitable and in the black and is very confident that they can stay there. And if they've, say, converted to natural gas, or it was a natural gas plant to begin with, right now we're experiencing fairly low natural gas prices because of fracking, because of the abundance of natural gas. So that makes it cheaper to burn natural gas than to burn coal. So the coal plants are hurting. They're on the fringe. Nuclear power plants are worse, and that's only going to get worse. And here's what's going to happen within 5 years. Fracking is going to basically hit the limit of the amount of natural gas, because when you do fracking, when you do the forcing of the fluid into the ground and the explosions that go with it, you have to get all of that gas out, and you have to do something with it right now. So that's why there's an abundance of natural gas, but that's going to go away. They can't keep doing this. It's not going to keep at the same production level. So within 5 years, natural gas is going to become less available, and the prices are going to go up. And so this is a reality. And so when that happens, the coal plants will have been forced out of business because of low natural gas prices. But then the nuclear plants will also be shutting down because of high cost of operating nuclear power plants. And then the price of natural gas is going to go up, and you're going to be paying prices for electricity that you've never seen before. And even at those high prices, those power companies are going to be on the fringe of going out of business. So enter the wing generator. If you understand what's going on in the world, if you look at China, if you look at Europe, if you look at Africa, if you look at Asia, China, Russia, everybody is, Russia is not too bad. They only have 140 million people in their country, and they have vast natural gas and petroleum reserves. China is way overpopulated. India has used up all of its own natural resources. So the world is cruising for a bruising in terms of resources. And the three-blade wind generator and solar simply aren't going to cut it. You cannot put in billions of solar panels. And I was just giving a talk to some friends here this past week, and I was showing some basic calculations that a single 200-megawatt wing generator would replace 600 three-blade wind generators or over a million solar panels. That's one wing generator of the high-end variety, of the 200-megawatt or larger. So those things are going to happen. That it's an economy of scale. And I've spent some time in the last days looking at wind charts all around the world. It's kind of a hobby now, because understanding the world weather patterns, and especially wind. So there is sufficient wind at a given time to actually power our energy needs. But it has to be done efficiently, and at relatively low wind speeds. So that's where the wing generator does the best. And that's where, when you drive out in the fields of three-blade wind generators, Kansas or Southern California or South Dakota or wherever they are, southwestern Minnesota or all of the other Texas or north in Ontario, when you drive through those fields of three-blade wind generators and none of them are turning, or maybe one or two are turning because there's a motor inside that's actually operating it, then you realize that all of that expense is for naught, and you would need literally 1,000 times as many wind generators, the three-blade type out there, literally 1,000 times as many as are there already, just to begin to meet our energy needs. So, you know, it's just not going to happen because the majority of those are sitting there idle. But when you look at the energy situation and the fact that we're going to have more and more electric cars coming online, that is going to be an exponential increase because actually electric cars per mile are very competitive, if not much better, than gasoline in terms of cost. So if you drive down the street and you go to the grocery store and come back, if you're driving a gasoline car, it's going to cost you a lot more, not only in just the raw energy to get you there and back, but in the maintenance of a gasoline-powered automobile is horrendous compared to that of an electric vehicle. And so with the improvement in batteries, that will only get better. And the end result is that people will be moving more and more to electric cars, purely electric cars, not hybrids. Purely, they'll be moving to purely electric cars in the new future. So, we will be getting off of petroleum, and there's going to be a realization that we just can't keep burning hydrocarbon-based fuels, the natural gas, the oil in big ships, etc. We just can't keep doing this. This is just a dead-end path. So the time is right, the economic times. Now, let us change the scenario here. Say that the power companies were profitable. Say that they were doing really well financially and that electrical energy was a highly profitable business and that the companies were not in the red and some of them near bankruptcy, you know, coming for survival, gasp of air to at the point where they are just barely on the brink of bankruptcy and survival. Say they were doing really, really well, then it would be difficult to imagine putting wind generators in. But the fact that these companies are financially in dire straits, XL Energy has made a proposal to the state of Minnesota, where its home base is, and for billions of dollars to try and support two fledgling nuclear power plants that over the next 12 years, they're expecting that these facilities are near the end of their lifetime. Their certified lifetime is really over, so it's going to take billions of dollars just in maintenance to keep these things going, which is going to, what they're trying to do is not charge the customer, but they're trying to go around the back door and get the state of Minnesota legislature to buy or bite the hook, so to speak, to pay for this extra billions of dollars for maintenance of these two nuclear facilities. But I don't think that's going to happen. So those nuclear plants, which probably are about 2/7, just to give a rough numbers, about 2/7 or maybe around 14% of the energy that's provided to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, come from those two nuclear power plants. And so that's a big chunk of electricity. But there again, could people in the Minneapolis and surrounding area save 14% of electricity or even 10% and then expand the coal power plants that are in the area to take up the slack and shut those two down and start decommissioning them? You know, and that's really the viable option. And economically, The people just can't pay anymore. They cannot pay anymore for nuclear fuel. But, of course, in doing this, Xcel Energy is talking and saying that, oh, by the year 2030, they expect to have 85% of their energy from three-blade wind generators, which is a lie. They're just lying. They couldn't possibly justify that with real numbers or based on real track record of success of three-blade wind generators, but they're trying to sell, they're trying to say anything to get the Minnesota legislature to bite off on paying this this money so people don't have increased electric rates, but then the billions of dollars are going to come out from state taxation of the people there. Anyway, this is going on all over the country. This type of backdoor bailout, you might call it, is happening all over the country. And the states just cannot take on that extra burden. So the end result is that these facilities are going to fail. They're going to have to. And there's not enough energy production there to bring up and provide another gigawatt of energy from currently existing sources. So people are going to, this electric issue is big. This is a very big issue. And, but there are locations where there's enough wind energy, if you have an efficient way of gathering it, there's enough wind energy to cover the bases. And this is, but back to the, say, Western Australia or Puerto Rico, it's going to start there. The placement of wind generators, it's going to start in these remote places where nobody cares and there's no other solution and the power company doesn't care. And so these are going to creep in, and then all of a sudden people are going to go, well, we can make this bigger. Yeah, we can make them bigger and start installing bigger ones. And pretty soon the power company is going to realize its mistake of shutting off these remote areas because, you know, the wind generator is going to come in and take over. At any rate, go to my webpage. I've still got a sale going on the water filter products, jmccsci.com, and a lot of other information there. I'm trying to keep the page updated a little bit. All of the information on the XPRIZE, the information for people who are interested in a farm or ranch wing generator. We're taking names for anybody that's interested in that. And, of course, the change, I remember I talked about the longevity new product line. Scroll down and you'll see the link where there used to be the link for Via Viente is there. Check that out, all the new products there that are available. So once again, this is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroad. Good night.